Nearly 100 representatives from our country and Australia and Fiji and Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands gathered in Suva last week for the Oceania First Voices Regional Forum, a summit that gives a platform to Indigenous voices across the Pacific and to connect those most impacted by our changing climate. Now, the Worldwide Fund was behind the summit, and the fund's CEO is Dr. Kayla Kingdon-Bibb, who's with us today. Thank you for joining us on the program. Kayla, my name's Dale. It's a great opportunity to have a kōrero. Nau mai, welcome to Pākehā here on Māori Radio.
Ata Mārie, Dale. It's lovely to meet you.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us today. Well, the Worldwide Fund, first, could you tell us about it and why it was deemed appropriate to plan and support this discussion and forum?
Yeah, of course. Well, we're actually called the Worldwide Fund for Nature, also known as WWF. You might recognize us from the iconic panda logo. I often have to tell people we're the pandas, not the wrestlers. But WWF is actually the world's largest conservation organization. And in addition to being present in Aotearoa since the 1970s, we're active in over 100 countries. So what we were really looking to do with this forum, the Oceania First Voices Forum, was to provide a gathering place for Indigenous leaders from across the Pacific to share knowledge, discuss their lived experience of being on the front lines of climate change and nature loss, and to give them space to chart a collective way forward in the coming years.
Well, tēnā koe, and of course, climate change is upon us. There's no point talking about it's on its way. We are living in the midst of it. And interesting to try and collate First Nations voices. Tell us, what were some of the Indigenous leaders saying about the impacts of our changing climate on their lands, waters, and islands, Kayla?
Well, as you know, Pacific Islands, Aotearoa included, are on the very front lines of climate change and nature loss. And I guess what emerged out of the conversation, at least what I heard, was that many of the Indigenous communities across Australia, Aotearoa, and through the Pacific are seeing the same things. Cyclone after cyclone in rapid succession, out-of-controlled wildfires, floods, droughts. Everyone's concerned about the ability of, you know, the species that they care about, the ecosystems, their awa, the moana, their manga, to persist for future generations. And so there was a lot of kōrero around, you know, the lived experience and sort of the trauma that people were experiencing by seeing the changes that were being wreaked upon their environments. But also what was helpful and really hopeful was that there was a lot of whakaaro shared around the transformational action that's being led at a community level with customary practitioners and the kind of change and the adaptation steps that are being successfully taken.
Utilising mātauranga Māori, we've been kaitiaka of our lands, all of our Pacifica peoples, for so very long. And often when we're looking for solutions to our challenges, they can literally be right in front of us without us realising. Why should tangata whenua Māori perhaps and other Indigenous communities be on the front line of helping to solve these climate and biodiversity crises?
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, Pacific Islands are experiencing the effects of climate change more acutely than any other country on the planet. And Indigenous communities in those areas tend to be experiencing those effects even more so than, you know, the rest of the population. And for a long time, the global community has not listened to those who possess Mātauranga traditional knowledge. And it's unfair, in fact, that, you know, Indigenous communities are the ones experiencing a lot of the impacts disproportionately, not having caused them. But the hopeful message here out of the forum, I think, is that Indigenous communities also have a lot of solutions to offer.
Tēnā koe, thank you for joining us. What needs to happen next then? So the hui was held in Suva. We're talking about it, which is good. I hope that other attendees are also going back to their communities and talking through the media of some of the important issues that the forum grappled with. But what needs to happen next off the back of it to give the hui some teeth?
Well, there was a clear message coming out of the hui, and that was that the voices of Indigenous communities through the Pacific can be very powerful when the voices are raised together. And looking ahead, we've got a set of international negotiations coming up. So the next biodiversity negotiations are going to be in Colombia in South America this year. And after the next climate negotiations, which are going to be in Azerbaijan, the ones following it will be in Brazil and then likely in Australia. And these sort of sequence of negotiation points, being where they're located, you know, in countries where there are prominent and very vocal Indigenous populations, it's really a unique opportunity for the global community to make space for and really listen to Indigenous leaders and communities when it comes to taking decisions about how to counter climate change and nature loss, which are really interlinked twin crises and the generational existential challenge for us and for Mokopuna.
Well, it's great talking with you. Look, I know that you've had a long involvement with conservation. I spoke yesterday with Sandra Lee, former minister. I see you've worked with Maggie Barry and Eugenie Sage. As somebody who is committed to environmental protection, what are you making about fast-track consenting, potential to mine the Dock Estate, even a TTR withdrawing from those fora in Hawera to try their luck with the fast-track process? What are you making about some of our attitudes towards extractive industries and our whenua?
Well, the ENGOs within Aotearoa, New Zealand, have made it clear in no uncertain terms that we see the actions of this government as nothing short of a war on nature. We're really concerned about the actions that have been taken with respect to the Fast Track Approvals Bill, particularly with, as you know, with the potential to begin new open cast coal mines on the conservation estate. We're equally concerned about what's being done with respect to treaty rights. And increasingly, my firm belief is that when we're our work, collective work to sort of restore nature and try and address biodiversity loss in Aotearoa can also uplift and support Mana Motuhake and, the aspirations of iwi and hapu to self-determine. I think those things go hand in hand. And I guess I'll just say we're very concerned about what the government has proposed in its policy agenda.
Tēnā koe, good talking with you. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us, Kayla. And all the best with the mahi, with the Worldwide Fund. And I do recognise the panda more than the wrestling.
Nā mihi, Dale.
Tēnā koe, thanks, Kayla. The Urban Māori Radio, it's 8:45.